ESPN.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
You know what? It is absolutely gorgeous outside. Hopefully you can enjoy it, get out there, and enjoy the beautiful spring-like weather. Going to have a little chill coming up over the weekend. I say chill like it'll be in the 65s. It's awesome, though. Want to enjoy it before all of a sudden it starts getting into the 90s. And triple digits. It's around the corner later on. Going to enjoy it, though, a couple of weeks away from all of the St. Paddy's Day festivities here as well. Got so much to get into. As we reach the midway point of your work week, we will officially welcome you to that here shortly. As always, appreciate the time and you tuning in. Hour one is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters, your local fly shop and paddleboard dealer, 1926 Airline Drive over in Metairie. Chime into the conversation, buddy. We'll take your phone calls back over in the LaRose studios. 800-998-1003. Got a bunch of guests lined up for you here as well. Some open segments. Pelicans taking care of business. What a game in Thibodaux last night on the diamond between Tulane and Nicholls. Both teams back at it again today. LSU baseball back at it today. LSU basketball back at it today. We got a ton to get into, and of course, the very latest when it comes to free agency. Anything the Saints do? I'll let you know. We'll figure it out. But it is Wednesday.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me. Let's get
stupid. Today's more than what that Camel Wednesday hump day is.
Yes, it is, and that is Caleb the Camel. He's got a SAG card. No, seriously. Jordan the intern looked it up back in the day. It was in the movie Transformers, that insurance commercial there where he walks around the offense. I mean, the office. Probably made way more money than most of us. That's what it is. It's a camel.
To all the ladies, peace and humpiness forever.
Indeed, a little peace. A little humptiness as well. Enjoy your Wednesday and welcome to the show. We got a lot for you coming up in a little less than 3 hours. Matt Moscone out to further review LSU football back over in the practice fields. The spring ball has started there. So we'll kind of keep tabs on that. Chris Blair, voice of your LSU Fighting Tigers, will join us at the top of next hour. Little basketball here going on. They've had some wins the last couple of weeks. And you kind of wonder, look, obviously for them to get into the big tournament, you're going to have to, is there a way? I don't know. Can they win enough games in the SEC tournament? Do they have to win the whole SEC tournament to do that? It looks more and more like, obviously, one of the things that Matt's talked about and coaches talked about as well. Can they get the NIT? Can they be able to get some sort of postseason action on the court for there? And I think there's a way and a possibility. So we'll talk to Chris a little bit about that and his thoughts on LSU going to that Astros Foundation Classic over the weekend, and LSU baseball looking, well, you know, pretty stout. So we'll talk to him a little bit about that. Ralph Marlborough is going to join us at 1:15. It'll be interesting to see. He said he needed news last week. He needs Saints news last week. Well, I don't know if he's gotten Saints news since then, but we'll ask him how he's feeling about that. And obviously the franchise tag has come and gone with a lot of different teams. The Bucks did franchise tag safety Antoine Winfield. What are you going to do with Baker Mayfield? Did they offer him a 3-year, 4-year deal, a 2-year deal? Should they have just franchise tagged about like $39 million? It would have been cheaper than say a 3-year, $100, $120 million deal. I don't know. We'll talk to him a little bit about that here as well. Jeff Boggs, of course, from ESPN Bet, will join us from our sister station KNAE at 1:45. At 2:15, Jim Eichenhofer, Pelicans.com. We'll talk about the big win for the Pels last night, and I mean big, as in 41-point victory. It's the worst defeat in the Toronto Raptors franchise history. It's one of the biggest margin of victory, if not the biggest margin of victory for the Pels. It's a lot went through it, and think of this, 5 starters, none of them hit 20 points. Trey Murphy was the star. He hit 10 3. So we'll get into that here as well, but more specifically with him, because I got a lot of sound that will cover the game and break it down. But today on the podcast, we had fun. We had John DeShazer, Todd Graffanini, and Jim as well. And he looked at the rest of the season now, just 20 games left, with March Madness colored eyes. Bracketology. Who's seeded lower than they probably should be? What matchup in the first round do you kind of want to see? Things of that nature. So it's kind of fun. He gave us a whole list of different things to touch on. I thought it'd be fun, kind of fun to touch on that here as well, because the Pels are in a cool spot. They got some days off. They haven't left Toronto yet. They took the day off from practice. They didn't leave last night. They don't play Philly until Friday. It's Wednesday. They will at some point today head to Philadelphia. And then they got tomorrow. And then finally the game on Friday. They'll be in Atlanta on Sunday. But you don't have that 5-game and 7-game stretch. You're looking around the standings. You got some help yesterday. You could have gotten more. But Denver couldn't get the job done last night over the Phoenix Suns. Kevin Durant, 8 points in overtime out of his 35. The Suns blew a 20-plus point lead to go to overtime. But Nuggets couldn't complete the task. Would have been nice if that would have happened. So we'll touch on that with him. And then Tim Grubbs joins us once a week. We'll talk a little Major League Baseball. It's getting closer and closer. Graf's cheating Dodgers will take on the Padres at the end of this month to start the Major League Baseball season. So spring training until then. But at the end of this month, it's on. The new Major League Baseball season will get going on. And his take here as well, because there's a former LSU Tiger pitcher, you know, number one overall. He's going to be making his Pirates debut here at some point, and he is a Pittsburgh Pirate fan. So, well, we'll talk about him and Paul and see if he's gotten a jersey just yet. So we'll touch on all of that and more. And in coming up at the bottom of this hour, each and every Wednesday, we're going to be talking with NOLA Gold's head coach, Corey Brown. We'll be there again on Friday, every Friday. Before a home game, we'll be broadcasting live from the Gold Mine. They had a record-setting attendance for a season opener this past Saturday. The weather wasn't nearly as beautiful as it's going to be this weekend. So if you want to go check them out here as well, they did win. They are 1-0 in the season. So we'll talk with Coach Corey Brown here coming up at the bottom of the hour. So we got a ton to get into. The Graf say they're on the bus on the way to the airport now, as the team will be heading over to Philadelphia last night. Team getting the job done. And, of course, the Pels are today's lead.
Time now for The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. Here's what's topping our headlines on the Sports Hangover.
Lead is always brought to you by Lakeview Massage and Therapy and Upper Cervical Family Chiropractic. Dr. Josh Roulette taking care of both of you from those services. Mention the show, you get discounts. It's that simple, right? Just mention the Sports Hangover, mention Gus Cattingill, you get the discounts. Last night, Pelicans in game one of a 3-game road trip. You had to take care of your business. For the next 3 games, you were going to face teams that don't have, per se, their star players. They're not the teams that you're facing above you in the Western Conference or things of nature. It's not being disrespectful. It just is what it is. No Scottie Barnes. Hurt his hand this past weekend. So he wasn't going to be playing. That a lot of players that was left from Toronto's kind of post-trade deadline team that were out. So that's a game you respect, but you had to take care of business. There's no other way to look at it. On Friday, no Joel Embiid. 76ers, though, almost won yesterday. They're going to give teams a shot, right? Could have beaten the Nets, and they've won some games against some good teams, but no Joel Embiid. Zion should have a good game. You would think that. And on Sunday, there is no Trae Young, but the Graf did say they might actually be better without Trae Young. They went to New York last night and won the Hawks. That said, those 3 teams on this 3-game road trip, off the bus, on the court, on shoot-around, player intros, you have, I think, the better team overall. But you have to go take care of your business. And what's interesting is last night, in the first quarter, there was a moment. I think it was 1916, 1914, something like that. The Raptors were actually ahead in the game. You know the Graf. He was a little nervous. And then the Pelicans said Hold our beers.
Trey, bad pass. Olenek deflected it, but there's McCollum. Right place, right
time.
Go. Little crossover with three. Drives in right corner. Herb for three at the shot clock buzzer. Nothing but net. Herb now with his third three. He's got 11 points.
A little bit of chicken salad on that one. Had a couple of deflections, and then you wind up with an open three.
Brandon, guarded by Noir. Crossed him over.
Oh, yes, sir.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Brandon Ingram just threw it down.
All on his head. Take it. Take it.
An absolute throwdown for B.I. as Cart just missed a layup. That was angry Ingram.
He cocked that one back with some malice.
Zion and Barrett bounce feed to Trey. Left wing three. Rainbow and down.
Wait. Why is that the guy you're doubling off?
Again, that's a them problem.
That can't be the guy you're doubling off.
Lucky number seven for Kenneth Murphy III. 14 on the shot clock, inbound to Herb, who's got a career-high time, five threes. Z to Trey, left wing three. Online, and eight threes for Murphy.
Kenneth the third cooking.
Murphy, left corner.
Oh,
step back for three.
Oh, yes.
And back in again.
Trey Murphy feeling every bit of it. 9 of 11.
The nine is a season high. He is one below his career high with 10. Ball on the deck. Jonas has it.
Jonas is the only guy down at the rebound, and somebody's got to help him out a little bit.
Now,
alley-oop!
Oh! Alvarado to Z. Coming right side and a two-hand throwdown.
Go get it, big fella.
He did.
Oh.
Barrett blocked at the rim by Zion Williamson. Up the floor. Z. Kick it left corner, Murphy.
Oh, yes, sir.
To
yes,
tie.
Sir. Yes, sir.
His career
yes,
high.
Yes, sir. Smoke it.
10 made threes for Murphy. 21 all told for the Pels. It is a blowout in Toronto.
Somebody turned the hose on Trey Murphy.
That last highlight was absolutely indicative of the night the Pelicans had. You have an alley-oop, followed by a block shot, followed by a three-pointer by Trey Murphy. Literally, that was just one sequence of what the game was like last night. Pretty incredible. 139-91 the final. That is a 41-point win by the Pels. They're now 37-25. Let's start there. That's 12 games above 500. Best start in franchise history to this point of the season. Stop. Right? Next topic out of it. 24 made threes by the team. 10 by Trey Murphy. He had 34 points, 11 of 17 shooting. He was 10 of 14. You heard it in the highlights there. He was just on target. Next topic. Of the five starters, not a single one hit 20 points. Brandon Ingram had 12. Six assists, three rebounds, took one three, didn't make it. Went to the free throw line twice, made both. Zion, 26 minutes, 16 points, nine assists, eight rebounds. He plays 30 minutes, he probably gets a triple-double. He went to the free throw line twice, made both. Jonas, 10 points in 20 minutes, 10 rebounds, though, double-double for him. Assist in the block, two free throws, made them both. Herb Jones, I don't know what to say. He continues to just be amazing. He hit five threes last night. 17 points, three assists, two rebounds, but five threes. C.J. McCollum, 11 points in 23 minutes, four rebounds, four assists. He knocked down three threes. Off the bench, you look at Larry Nance, he had 6 points in 6 minutes. Najee Marshall, 11 in 20. Jose Alvarado, 5 and 24. Then the rest of the bench emptied out and scored, including Isaiah Brockington, who played his first game with the Pels, scored his first points in the NBA, and it did give him the game ball. But, of course, the star was Trey Murphy. 34 points, 10 of 14, 11 of 17, 2 of 4 from the free throw line, which, by the way, is going to anger his mom. And if you, I didn't get a chance to play it yesterday, and shame on me. But if you listen to what happened back on the last game, his mom grabbed the microphone and, well, had this to say. In the game, which Trey Murphy had, what, six threes and scored a lot of points and had a good game, and then his mom in the post-game presser.
Trey Murphy, It has been a couple of games where you've missed two free throws in a row. That is bothersome to your mother. You would have 31 points tonight if you had basically met, if you had hit all three free throws. I would
next,
love to know
next
what
question,
is going,
please.
I would love to know why, when I know I have witnessed you make almost 98 free throws in a row and never miss, what is going on when you're at the free throw line to miss two in a row?
Next question, please.
No, there is not a next question. I will harass you when you get
home. Okay, all right. Yeah, I have to make free throws, obviously, and just not rush and not get too excited on the line. Yep, next question, please.
There it is. Gotta love that. And I'm sure she will get the mic the next time they're here in town. We'll talk a little bit more about that. We're here from Zion. He made a statement yesterday that's gone national in a good way. In a good way. And I love it. I love hearing it. With the Bells, big win last night. We'll talk about that coming up bottom of the hour. Corey Brown of the NOLA Gold. We'll hear about his team's season opening win here as well. They play again on Saturday at the Gold Mine on Airline. We're just off and running. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
They say that once you give him control, he'll own your brain forever. Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Defense, ball movement, and just everybody playing for each other.
Zion Williamson, who said that's basically what worked last night. 139-98. Your final Z with 16 points last night. I think we're going to get into the game, but look, I'm just going to be honest. It's how it works when he speaks sometimes. A lot of the questions are very towards one topic, right? A lot of it is you know, how's he feeling, things of that nature, and, you know, his health, et cetera, et cetera. Here's the other thing, though. Yesterday he was asked about if he would be in the dunk contest next season. And he said that, well, here, I'll just play what he had to say.
I got to do my part and make the All-Star game. If I'm in the All-Star game, I'll do the dunk contest. But if I'm not, not doing it.
There it is. I mean, literally right after that, it was just, you know, post after post after post after post nationally, NBC, ESPN, TNT, everything. That'd be fantastic. Obviously, if he's healthy and he's playing well next year, I don't see how he's maybe not an all-star. And again, that's one of the things we've been talking about with the dunk competition. A player of that stature wanting to go out there and do that, and you starting to see him play a little bit more above the rim, you know me. Way too many layups already. I want to see the guy dunk, so that's great. I love hearing him say that more than anything else. So I just wanted to play that out for you because it is getting a lot of national pub, no doubt. I'm sure today on NBA Today, they'll bring that up. You know, probably a lot of people like the fact that a player like him is saying, hey, and if he's there, he'll be in the dunk contest. And probably they probably want a lot of the younger players to sort of say that as well. Speaking of dunks, he had that alley-oop. He had another dunk as well. Brandon Ingram's dunk, though, down the lane. You heard it in the highlights. He was asked, who had it better? Who dunked it better, he or B.I.?
You got to give it to B.I. because he hit him. He hit him with the cross, sent that person out the pitcher, and then he dunked it over somebody. So you got to give it to B.I. on that one.
Yeah, no doubt. Also, as I mentioned, they did trail for a little bit in that game. Zion, on what changed?
Kind of starting with offense in the sense of not – like, just finding the best shot, because if you take a bad shot against them, I mean, early on, they capitalized off it. Transition threes, layups. So I think once we started finding the shots we wanted, the game was ours from that point.
I also mentioned, too, one of the things that's interesting, and we kept coming up or coming back to it in the podcast even today. There's a stat that's pretty remarkable when it comes to Trey Murphy. And again, Trey Murphy, 34 points. He had those 10 threes. But in particular, like, there's a legit stat, right, about Trey that correlates with winning when it comes to the Pelicans. So for the last two seasons, the Bird writes, tweeted this last night, the Pelicans are 28-10. That's a 700 winning percentage. 0.736 to be exact. When Trey Murphy has at least 12 field goal attempts, FGAs. Not field goals made, but just
12 field goal attempts, if he just takes 12 shots, the Pels last year were 17-7. The Pels this year, 11-3. They're 34-44 in games he has fewer than 12 field goal attempts. So winning percentage about 400, right? And then you add this. David Fisher tweeted this last night. When you look at some of the minutes that Trey Murphy has gotten as of late, 25 minutes, 31 minutes, 31 minutes, 28 minutes, and last night, 29 minutes. It's essentially starter minutes. They've somehow found the way, right? Because you remember one of the topics and storylines going into this season. I mean, let's be honest. I talked about it yesterday. An absolute storyline was, man, how long can the Pelicans continue to play 4-on-5? I mean, Herb Jones is crushing you. He gets like 2 points. Great, he's on defense. But, I mean, the other guys have to pick up the offensive slack. And then, you know, if Jonas and, you know that was an absolute storyline. Like, I'm not just making that up out of thin air. People that cover the team, people that are national, like, at some point, Trey Murphy, Max Steele, like, he's a starter in this league, right? He is. And I think on pretty much a lot of teams, Trey Murphy absolutely is starting. And then you have this season, which, as we talked about yesterday, was a main topic on the show. Herb Jones, where did this come from? I mean, he had 5 threes yesterday. He had 5 threes again yesterday. He's absolutely crushing it from beyond the arc. Shooting percentage among the top, if not the top, since when, pick a date, whether it's January 1st or whether it's All-Star break. Like, he's crushing the three-point shot. So, again, when you look at these two guys, what they're able to provide you is something that I pointed out this morning in our podcast. You look at some of the teams around the West. Let's look at Luka last night. I think Graf told me today he had a triple-double. It's his fifth straight triple-double, and they've lost 4 of the last 5 games. When you look at Denver, they lost last night. Phoenix, they did win, but Durant needed 38. There are a lot of teams in and around the Pelicans that are very dependent on their superstars to have superstar games. We keep touching on the depth of the Pels. Now, we won't really know how deep and how good that depth is, and if anything that I'm saying has any merit until the postseason. Rotation shortened, you have to win 4 games, etc., etc. But again, as I started at the beginning of the show, the Pelicans did not have a starter to reach 20 points last night. 12, 16, 10, 17, and 11. That's B.I., Zion, Jonas, Herb, and C.J. McCollum. That's what having a guy like Trey Murphy can do for you. He's essentially a starter. You're finding minutes, almost 30, the last 5 games for him to play. He's helping you. So, instead, it's almost in a year's time, right? In a year's time, you've gone from, it felt like 5-on-4 to right now it almost feels like 6-on-5. It's pretty remarkable when you think about it from that perspective. Here's Zion on both of those guys.
From my perspective, confidence. Every shot he took not only looked like it was going in, but he felt like they were going in. And when you have somebody that's on fire like that, you got to find them. And when they started blitzing me, I tell Trey every time, I'm going to find you. Just find the open spot. And 5, I said it before, this man is not first team all defense. I don't know what requirements you need to make it at that point. But those two dudes, man, they're great teammates. And the world got to see another example of them being great tonight.
Head coach Willie Green on Trey and Herb.
Trey was fantastic. When he's shooting the ball like that, we're a hard team to beat, and he knows that. It's good to see him start to make some shots because it opens up the lane for Brandon, for CJ, for Zion, for the rest of our group when he's making shots like he is tonight. And then Herb Jones, same thing. And, you know, he works diligently at his shooting and other components of his game, it's good to see him play with the confidence that he's playing with.
Trey Murphy on Herb Jones.
One of the best human beings that you'll ever meet. He's super selfless. A lot of times I feel like he's a little too selfless. I think he needs to promote himself just a little bit more. Still working on that, but he's super humble and just one of the guys you just want to root for, and super down to earth and one of my best friends. So I think everything that he has gotten and will get is what he deserves. So, you know, I just think the world of Herb Jones.
Now, one of the things that he was asked as well after the game, Trey Murphy, I mean, when you knock down 10 threes after a game knocking down 6 threes, what's changing? How did it feel?
I don't think anything changes. My mentality the entire time is just to shoot the ball. Like, you can't make it if you don't shoot it. So that's been the biggest thing for me, staying consistent in my work, trusting what I've been doing, and shooting the ball with confidence.
One of the things that head coach Willie Green said on the after the game as well, too, is when you look at the road record that the Pels had, like, again, you absolutely love every win that you can get. They're now 19-13 away from the blunder, I think, that passes, or it's around where they were total road wins last season. And as he said afterwards, I mean, look, you can do that, then you'll go a long way to securing some of the goals that you want.
Well, it's nothing that we necessarily go in and talk about. It's about focusing on our opponent, locking in on the details, which our guys are doing. Our game plan discipline tonight was extremely high, and we want to, every game, give ourselves a chance to win it. And it's special when you can go out on the road and win games. It lets you know you have an opportunity to be in a really good team.
And again, I think when you look at it at the end of the season, you can go out and do what you need to do, especially away, which actually, yes, they were 15-26 last year. 27-14 at home, but they were 15-26 away from the blender last year. That last spot, 10th spot in the play-in over in the Western Conference. And this year already, they've eclipsed that, right? So it gives you an idea of how they're playing and the kind of basketball they're playing. Look, 20 games remain. Go keep continuing taking care of business here. The next two, Friday at Philly, Sunday at Atlanta. Got more sound here as well we can get into right after we take a quick break. And when we come back, we will discuss little rugby with NOLA Gold's head coach, Corey Brown. That's coming up next on the Pelicans. Sorry, on ESPN New Orleans. Used to that.
He's back.
He's like the thing that wouldn't shut up.
He's got his own catchphrase.
He's the best invention since they started frosting Pop-Tarts.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Permitting. Weather permitting. And if I remember, no, I'm kidding. Corey Brown, head coach of NOLA Gold, will be joining us to talk about his rugby team over there down on the gold mine on Airline. Coach, first off, thanks for joining us here on Wednesday. How are you?
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Hey, you always have to be happy when the regular season gets off on the right foot and pick up the win. You guys win the season opener 18-6. Just overall thoughts, Coach, on, you know, starting off the season with the W.
Yeah, it certainly makes things a lot easier. It makes the beer taste a little bit nicer when you get a win. But it was, like, there's certainly things we need to improve on, but it was great to get off to a win and to a good start. I know last year they didn't quite get off to that win or that start in the first game. So it's been a good week so far coming off a win.
Look, obviously, when you look at a sport like this where it's all about the table results and getting however many points for wins and doing all those things, that's why wins are so big, obviously. But being that it was your first game with this squad and this team, I don't know, kind of take us through that thought process, too, of I saw you guys do the captain run. I know you guys practice. I know you guys had some, you know, some scrimmages and things of nature, but you really kind of don't know what kind of team you got until the game goes. Or, Coach, when you're watching that game unfolded, did you kind of feel like that was the team that you had been preparing with?
I guess if you look back at the first 40 minutes, it was a game where we were probably put ourselves under a bit of pressure. There was a little bit of anxiety in our performance in that first half. Our discipline didn't help. So at halftime, I think we gave them some really clear messages, and then they went out and executed that. I think we had 8 penalties in the first half and no penalties in the second half, and we played in the right parts of the field and we built a bit of pressure. So overall, it was good to get the win, but there's always things that we need to be better and need to improve on for a better performance this weekend.
I know one of the things he touched on when we met on Friday of last week was you wanted to have a team and an offense that, you know, was very active, was quick, and, you know, like a lot of high tempo and pace and things of that nature. Is that kind of easier said than done, depending on how the opposing team sort of plays you, or can you make some adjustments like you did at halftime to try to open up space and try to get those players that you want to get the pill to a little faster?
Yeah, I guess it's certainly easier said than done. I think every coach goes in with a plan and every team has a plan. It's then really difficult to execute that plan. And I suppose the problem we had was we hadn't seen DC play before in the preseason. So we were sort of trying to adapt to the situation right in front of us in real time. So I thought the players did a really good job with that. The guys from the bench come on and made a real impact, which really turned the game for us. There was a really important scrum and a momentum in the game where we got a tight head. We pushed them over and we scored in the corner, and you could just see the energy from our players go up and the energy from them sort of drop and go away. So that was a huge moment for us.
Speak with Corey Brown, head coach of your NOLA Gold. We'll be speaking with him once a week about the previous game and, of course, getting ready for the upcoming matchup at the Gold Mine on Saturday. I love the recap here where I read Reese Baffa had a run that finished in a try there. That was a Derrick Henry-esque stiff arm. Now, us football fans here in America know who that guy is, and I wouldn't want to tackle him, much less with pads. But what did you see when you look back, or even from that coach's box, when you see Reese make that run there?
Yeah, look, I was really pleased for him. He's a young man, and he just really backed himself and just said to the defender in front of him, "You've got to stop me." And the guy didn't quite stop him, and he got through, but then he backed himself again to kick the ball through, and then Nala Funimoni on the wing ended up scoring a great try and finishing it off. So, yeah, it was awesome to see, and great confidence builder for Reese moving forward.
One of the other things, too, that was pointed out to me by a lot of people that have covered this team for a while is the ability just to be able to finish. And, look, you can translate that to any sport, whether it's the Pelicans, we just got done talking about, Saints across the way here as well. You get the lead, but you have to finish and bring that W home. How key is it in game one to be able to come back, make the adjustments, get the lead, but more importantly, coach, finish?
Yeah, look, I agree with you. And that's all sports, not just rugby. It's in every sport. As you know, the game goes for 80 minutes in rugby, and it's about being able to stay in that moment, staying on, and finishing those opportunities. And that's what I was pleased with. We didn't quite get it right in the first 40 minutes. We put ourselves under pressure, but the players were able to stay in the fight, adapt, and then move forward and then finish the chances that they created in the second half.
All right, obviously the box score, the recap, highlights the scoring plays and things of that nature. When you go back and look at the coach's tape, who else kind of stood out to you that you want to kind of recognize here before we move on to this week's game?
Yeah, I thought there was a couple of players. I thought Jonah Mau, the number 7, I thought he had a fantastic game. He had a lot of carries, a lot of defensive plays, and just played with a lot of energy around the game. He was physical. I thought also Jordan Jackson-Hope and Ross in the midfield really defended really well, made a lot of tackles, had a lot of involvements and a lot of positive involvements in the game. So those three did really well, but look, it was the impact from the bench coming on. And it's a really good lesson for us that all 23 players have to be ready and have to really contribute in the game. And I thought the guys from the bench did a great job there.
Do you have a bit of a philosophy when it comes to when you make those substitutions? Because there's so, you know, you don't have that many, obviously, to be able to do that. Or is it a gut feeling? Do you have a sheet of, hey, if this happens, I like to go to this player or not? Or how much is it the game that's unfolding in front of you?
It's probably a combination of both. Like for me, as a player, I hated just getting 2 or 3 minutes at the end of a game. So I really like to give the bench the opportunity to go on and contribute, to play and to go out and show what they can do. And they normally bring a bit of energy, which also helps. So I have a real philosophy of making sure that we use all 23. But then it's balancing that between the game and what's happening. So that's sort of how I do it.
All right, Coach. Well, let's move on to this week's game. Going to be playing back at the Gold Mine again, 3 p.m. And you're going to be taking on a team that's relatively new, as in one of the expansion teams in Anthem, huh?
Yeah, they seem to be a young, enthusiastic team. I watched them play on Sunday, and I thought they played really well. They backed themselves, and they play like a team that has nothing to lose, so which is always dangerous.
So when you take a look at them and it being just kind of a team that's just getting started, how difficult is that to game plan for them? Was this one of those classic games, Coach, where you want to work on your corrections, do what you do, and then once that game kind of gets going, you'll figure things out? Because you don't have much on them, huh?
No, we've just got one game on them, really. But we want to focus on us, making sure we improve on those things that we didn't quite nail against DC, but then just focusing on our plan, our game. And, look, we're going to try and be really physical, really dominate their set piece, scrum and line out, and then just attack that space when it comes to us once we get those good carries. So we've got a plan going in. Hopefully we're able to execute that plan, and if that goes well, then we just focus on playing for 80 minutes.
Yeah, no doubt. Final thing for you, Coach, because this is going to be a second straight game for you over at the Gold Mine. What was it like to see that crowd, a record crowd for opening day?
Yeah, it was awesome. Like, coming from New Zealand, where we're quite a preserved country around, just go and watch the sport, to have a band and have the party shack and the tailgating outside, I thought it was an awesome atmosphere. The crowd were getting right into it, and to get the win and to sort of make it even more exciting with a good win and a good finish the way we did, it was great. It was awesome for rugby in the region.
We touched on it back on Friday. It's one of the only sports that I know where after the game you're encouraged to go to the party shack, hang out with the players, and have a beverage and relax in here. What questions do you think you're probably going to get the most of when people can come over and hang out and talk to you?
It was cool. And that's what rugby is really special. And
right?
That's what the values of rugby are about, is playing really hard on the field. But as you saw at the end, both teams were chatting to each other, having something to eat and a quiet beer, and the fans were there as well, and it was great to see them all. The players really enjoyed it.
All right, Coach, give me one thing to keep an eye on the game coming up here on Saturday.
Ooh, keep an eye on our scrum, I reckon. We're going to dominate.
Oh, I love that. It's simple and easy enough. I love that. I love the word dominate as well. We'll be there Friday as well, so I'll be able to chat with you and get a little bit closer to game time or match time when it comes on Saturday. Thank you as always for your time, and look forward to chatting with you every week throughout the season, Coach.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, for sure. Head Coach Corey Brown of your New Orleans Gold joining us here once a week to be able to do that. So we'll kind of keep tabs on the Gold throughout the season here as well, as they are in the Major League Rugby Eastern Conference. The New England Free Jacks, they're up there at 1-0 as well. And again, it's about their points. They got 5 total points. And just so you know, because that's probably what I wanted to know here as well, we'll go into how you get those points in the standings. In case you want to know, you get 4 points for winning a match, 2 points for drawing a match, 0 points for losing a match. That makes sense. You get 1 try bonus point for scoring 4 tries or more, 1 losing bonus point for losing by 7 points or fewer as well. So the Gold have 4 points after their first match. The New England Free Jacks, 5, which kind of tells me, I guess, they scored a lot there, as they scored 46 points. So again, you get 4 tries, you get that extra bonus point, which is why they have 5 as opposed to the Gold having 4. Chicago Hounds, right below the Gold, they have 4 points as well. The Miami Sharks, another expansion team, 1 point. Old Glory, the team that the Gold beat, 0 points. And Anthem, they lost last week, and they have 0 points as well. Over on the other side of things, the Western Conference, you got Dallas. They have 5 points. Houston, 4. Seattle, 4. Los Angeles has 2. San Diego and Utah, each with 1 point. So kind of gives you an idea as we continue to follow them throughout the season. And it's kind of fun. I love this, man. We got basketball going. Rugby just started here as well. Saints trying to make some noise here as free agency starts next week. Who can they get? Who can they go and help get in the draft, which is now 50 days away. Did y'all see that post today? 50 days away. I sent it to Fort Kane. He rolled his eyes. Scott Craig jumped for joy. Rafael Esparza, I think, deleted my number. But it is what it is. By the way, we will be over at Katie's tomorrow up in Mid-City. Come on by. Have some lunch with us. Have a little fun. And on Friday, this weekend, we've got two Pelicans watch parties that the Pels will be putting on that'll be out there. So I'll be in Graf's favorite watering hole there at Reds in on Maple. Jeez, it's been a bit since I've been over there. So we're going to be there for the game. That's a 5:30 pregame, 6 o'clock tip. And then on Sunday, we'll be at Mid-City Yacht Club and stuff. So going to be on the road the next couple of days here as well for ESPN New Orleans and the Pels. So let's go out, have some fun. Weather should be nice, should be beautiful the next couple of days here as well. I think you got a little rain on Friday for a bit, then it cools off a little bit, and we can have some fun. So quick break. We'll go over some of the other headlines in and around the world of sports. And then coming up in our number two, we will lead things off with Chris Blair as they're on the road tonight taking on Arkansas. Big game for the men's basketball team. I'll ask them a little baseball, a little basketball there as well. Got plenty to get into. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Thanks to Corey Brown, the coach of your Milton Gold for his first season. The team picking up the win. We'll be speaking with him weekly to keep tabs on the Gold. At 3 p.m., they take on Anthem RC over there at the Gold Mine. Love that. Buddy, I sent you this earlier, 800-998-1003. I'm very curious, since you and I have very different tastes when it comes to gumbo, but we love gumbo. I don't know if you have any other curious tastes when it comes to other different delicacies in the city, but Boot Crew Media, I'm just scrolling, and they posted this, and I'll toss it out there to you, at Boot Crew Media. They have a graphic, and it says, which three you're rolling with? One NOLA food per row. The first row. A, B, or C. A is a po' boy. Now, this one looks like a shrimp po' boy. But I guess any po' boy. B, crawfish boil. Nice platter. Filled pretty high with some crawfish. I see some corn, some sausages in there. Nice fixings. And then C is a muffaletta. So if you have to pick one of those, po' boy, crawfish, muffaletta. The next row, one, two, or three. One's gumbo. I don't see potato salad in there, buddy. Two, jambalaya. Three, etouffee. If you had to pick one of those three, what are you picking? And in the final row, X, Y, and Z. X is beignets. Y is pralines. And Z is king cake. So what's your order in it? Think about it again. The first row, po' boy, crawfish, muffaletta. One of those three. Then I guess your side dish or goes with it. It's gumbo, jambalaya, and etouffee. And what's your dessert? Beignets, pralines, king cake. I'm definitely going beignets for the dessert. Got to be in the mood for the king cake. Again, obviously for the season. Pralines, I can kind of go with it, you know, hit or miss, to be honest with you. I mean, if it's there in front of me, I might take a piece, but if there's a choice of those three, it's probably the third for me. I love me a good hot beignet. I do. There's nothing like them. Love me some beignets. The jambalaya is kind of like, see, my thing with row two is etouffee and jambalaya to me is kind of like a meal, if that makes sense. And in row two, you got jambalaya, gumbo, etouffee. Like, I would order an etouffee to eat, like, for lunch or dinner. Am I wrong with that? Or jambalaya. Like, when Dad makes one, I kind of eat that all. Or is that a side? Like, do you guys, what would go with a side of that, I guess? I don't know. I guess some fried catfish with some jambalaya on the side? I guess you could do that. I'm trying to think. And as far as that gumbo goes, I could always go for a cup of gumbo. So I guess that's why, I don't know, it depends on the side. Because again, if I'm ordering a po' boy, or if I'm having a crawfish boil, I don't know if I'm having gumbo, jambalaya, and etouffee with it. Probably just doing the crawfish boil, although John and everyone else says it's too much work to not get fed. So I do know Dad does a lot of jambalaya as a side with other dishes. So, That's tough. That's tough. I don't know. That's tougher for me than obviously the dessert. And as far as the food, oh boy. It's hard for me. I hear them off a lot. I can constantly do that. The thing is, I would say po' boy simply because there's a handful in which to choose from, right? Does that make sense? Like crawfish boil, it's got to be the season. And this year, you got the money. And a muffalata, I would almost probably say you're going to somewhere for that specifically, or you're in the mood for that, either sharing or you're kind of getting, right? Whereas a po' boy, I mean, that can be any day of the week. It can be seafood. It could be the roast beef po' boy. And that gets into a discussion as to where it's the best part. And, I mean, you start getting arguments and fights into that. You could do the, you know, ham and cheese and Swiss with the hot roast beef. I mean, it's just, so I'm going to go po' boy because there's a lot of variations. It's tough to go wrong with them. And you pretty much can get one anywhere to that. So I would go, I guess if I had to pick one of those, I'd go po' boy. Oh, boy. Man, this is tough. I guess jambalaya. I could always probably eat jambalaya. Because I don't know if somebody's going to put... I'm a chicken andouille gumbo. I'm not a seafood gumbo. I know. But he's probably going to disconnect me. And quite honestly, I just don't eat etouffee enough, probably. I actually want to make one. I've never made an etouffee at home. Which is nuts. Chef Scotty last week when I told him that just looked at me like I was from Mars. I've never made a shrimp etouffee at home. Maybe we'll do that this week for a Friday dish. And then, again, I can always do beignets. Anyway, Boot Crew Media posted that. If you have any comments on that, I'd love to hear from you as to which ones you had to choose. One per row. Po' boy, crawfish boil, muffalata, gumbo, jambalaya, etouffee, beignets, pralines, or king cake for your dessert. One of the things I wanted to touch on that took place yesterday, Dartmouth men's basketball, I don't know if you guys saw this, so they voted to unionize, to join the local union there. And this is something that a lot of people have been talking a lot about whether or not this is a good thing, this is a bad thing, are we going to see more of this as well, and what do you make of this overall? And I've heard a lot of different opinions as to if it's good, if it's not, players protected, get rights, things of that nature. But it does open it up to this, doesn't it? It does open it up to this. If you're an employee, that opens you up to a lot of different aspects of it, good and bad. Are you going to be judged on performance now? Now, I've said that, and some people have said that, well, you always are judged on performance. Kind of. Like, I do think there are some extreme, you know, things where you do see players or so lose their scholarships. I mean, I'm trying to think if you really see that or not. But, like, say, you know, John Doe. All right, he's your point guard. Doesn't do well. Or, I don't know, do you fire him? I mean, it's weird. Like, I guess what I'm saying is in business, I'm just confused as to how... Or what is the purpose of it more than anything else? And what is the protection of? Because in business, whether it's a fast food, a restaurant, a place like us, moving on from someone, right? Don't you have to have, like, reasons for, like, I mean, do I have to have reasons for your benching if I want to move on from that? I don't know. It's just, I'm just curious about what you guys think of a school doing that. And more importantly, do you think other schools are going to start looking at it in that direction? Is that where we're going with the NCAA and the Power Now 4 conferences and such? Are schools going to have players, you know, in that? I don't know. It's interesting. I'll take your opinions on it. I don't know that much about as to one of the goods, the pluses and the minuses to it. I just think you're opening up a lot of legalities and a lot of that. I don't know how many universities are going to want to do that, and I don't know how many players are going to want to be represented by unions and who represents them. Is it a student athlete union? Are you joining local chapters? That's the only way you can do it. It's different, right? The other thing that ESPN put out there today on their homepage, it's the behind-the-scenes sort of look-see into Nick Saban's retirement. And in it, Nick Saban says the way Alabama's acted after losing to Michigan in the college football playoffs certainly contributed to his retirement. He said he was really disappointed, quote, in the way that the players acted after the game. You got to win with class. You got to lose with class. And in showing your butt and being frustrated and throwing helmets and doing that stuff, I thought we could have had a heck of a team next year. And then maybe 70 or 80% of the players you talk to, all they want to know is two things. What assurances do I have that I'm going to play because they're thinking about transferring? And how much are you going to pay me? So I'm saying to myself, maybe this doesn't work anymore. So there is the confirmation of what probably a lot of us thought and what a lot of us probably think that is happening right now. Now, Chris Lowe had the story for ESPN. It's pretty detailed, and I think, quite honestly, it's pretty telling. We brought this up a couple weeks ago, right? You started seeing head coaches or coordinators in college taking jobs in the NFL. Again, I get it. I understand it. And it's going to bring up a debate and a conversation with a lot of you guys. NIL has absolutely changed the game for better and for worse. I mean, it is. The transfer, the NIL, it has changed it. And I'm just looking at it from a sport stand-wise and a coaching stand-wise. I don't know how you coach. You hear Chip Kelly. You hear, you know, any coach that we talk to. I mean, from Frank Selfo, you know, to Tim Rebo at Nichols and Southeastern, much less here at Tulane. It's two forms of recruiting now year-round. You're trying to get players to come to your school, and you're trying to retain your current roster each and every year. Again, you can look at it as, hey, players are getting theirs. Players are having an opportunity to make money. Players, I understand that sentiment. I've always said, though, when it comes to money, it's never enough. From the caveman days to today. I hear it every day from my wife. Oh, we love the vacation. We don't have this. Oh, you need to save this Pell's check. I mean, it's never enough. No matter, like Sean Fox and I share this, no matter how many jobs I work, it is never enough. So you're never going to have enough money. So this notion of, well, if you pay the players X, or you take this from that, and I've always said this before, the money comes from either the TV revenue and stuff, and it gets put back into the universities. I know a lot of people don't get that and think that, what the cost is, and if you look at these reports and you see it, now maybe have a different viewpoint to it, because I called play-by-play for university. I was part of a university broadcast team. I see the travel. I hear the cost. I see what it takes, and I also see that very few schools, and maybe a sport, maybe two, make money. I saw in that report that came out with LSU, women's basketball, way in the red. Baseball, they won a national championship, in the red. They won national championships. They lost money. And that's at that school, with that support, with RVs everywhere, and people that probably care more about their programs than their families. That's not every school. And that's not every fan base. That's not every alumni base. So you have this, and again, there it is in his own words. Season ends. All right, am I playing? Comma, how much are you paying me? It's going to be very interesting to see how college sports continues on that road. It is. But there's Nick Saban in his own words saying, that's what got me out of there. So, hour one is in the books. Hour two will be coming back with Chris Blair, voice of the LSU Fighting Tigers. Hour one was brought to you by No Wake Outfitters, your local fly shop and paddleboard dealer, 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.